Good morning, friends and neighbors. This is Pastor and Bible teacher Craig Heilman, welcoming you to another edition of Study His Word Radio. I trust you had a good week this week. It was a good week for me. And I've got some announcements here, and then we'll get into our Bible study. But first thing is Tuesday this week. Tuesday night is a free neighborhood supper. Drive-through dinner. It's from 4:30 to 6 p.m. and it's at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 135 West Main Street in Waldo, Ohio. The menu: baked spaghetti, garlic bread, coleslaw, applesauce, Coke, and bottled water. Pull up to the door facing the parking lot and the meal will be delivered to your car. Everyone is welcome. So that's this Tuesday night. This Friday night, there is a community dinner. This dinner is free. Now, I don't know what's on the menu because it always changes. But at Shining Light Baptist Church, which 294 Mount Vernon Avenue, dinner's at 6 o'clock. And by the way, Shining Light Baptist Church has this community dinner the first, second, and fourth Fridays of every month. And this coming up Friday being the fourth Friday, so they're having it. Dinner is at 6 o'clock. And again, this is free. So you've got a couple dinners this week. Tuesday night down in Waldo. Friday night here in Marion at Shining Light Baptist. And you know, these are open to everyone. And you know, you may be thinking that, well, you know, we're in good situation. We don't need to take advantage of a free dinner. But if you can think of a neighbor, or you can think of somebody that could use a free dinner, I suggest that you bring them there to either of these free dinners and let them take advantage of it. Or you could even go by and pick up a dinner to go. The Tuesday night dinner is a drive-through dinner, and Friday at Shining Light, it's a sit-down in the basement of the church, but they also can prepare the same dinners to go. So if it doesn't work for you, or if there's not a need on your part, if you can think of someone that has a need and would like to bless them with a free dinner, give it a try. Then one other announcement I have is on Saturday, March 12th, the Child Evangelism Fellowship Luncheon and Silent Auction, and it's to benefit the Good News Clubs. And if you've listened to Linda Sims' show, she's had on Cheryl Lee, who is the one of the persons behind the Child Evangelism Club, or the Good News Club's Child Evangelism Fellowship. And so you've also probably have heard her talk about this. But I also wanted to mention it on my show. It's Saturday, March 12th, where it's at the Cornerstone Alliance Church, 2010 Marion Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio. The time is 11 to 2. The doors open at 10:30 for early bidding. And again, it's a silent auction. So basically, you write down your bid and submit it. It's not a traditional auction, silent auction, but you're welcome to come for that. And participation for the auction is free. So you can go and bid on the auction. It doesn't cost you anything. If you want to take part in the luncheon, tickets are a $10 donation. And you can eat there, or you can grab and go. So I would encourage you also to be a part of that. That's Saturday, March 12th. How to get a hold of us? You can get a hold of me through my website, studyhiswordradio.org. And on that, you can click on the Contact Us and give us your name and fill that out. And you can contact us and prayer requests, comments, questions, whatever you'd like. You can email me, and the email is studyhiswordradio ministry. Oh, no. I don't even know my own email address. All right, let me try that one again. studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. That's studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. And finally, you can take an old-fashioned pen and paper and write me a letter. And I like those the best, but that's another way you can get a hold of me. And I'm at Study His Word Radio, 6190 State Route 19, and that's in Mount Gilead, Ohio, 43338. So those are the three different ways you can get a hold of us. And one final thing you can do is you can go to the station's website, wwgh1071.com, and you can click on the archive page and go down to Study His Word Radio, and we have all of our shows on there since last April when I first was on the air. So that takes care of some housekeeping business there. We have a new study this morning, and this is a recording from when I had my church, and it happened to be a question and answer Sunday. I always did the fifth Sunday of the month was question and answer period. And so we have a little bit of Bible study based on some questions that were asked. So I think you'll enjoy it, and I hope you find it enlightening. So without further ado, let's get started with our study. Well, that's not good. Nothing's coming off the CD. This is something that happened a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know exactly what the problem is. So give me a second here. Let's see if we can get something going here. This is not good. We'd have dead air space. I'm trying here. We're trying. Let's see. My apologies. We seem to be having some kind of problem here this morning, and I don't know why. Well, that didn't work. So, I'm going to open up the phone lines, and you can call at 740-383-9944. Whatever's on your mind, we can talk about, and I'll pull up some news here, and we'll do something this morning. That's for sure. All right. Let's see. All right. We'll find something of interest here. Give me just a minute, and again, I apologize. I really don't know what's going on, that we've had a couple weeks now when the CDs aren't playing. Whatever the problem is, I'm sure Scott will get it figured out. Let's see. This is an interesting one. All right. Chinese government, let's see, whoops. Chinese government is rewriting the Bible with communist principle, watchdog group warns. A spokesperson for the Christian Persecution Watch watchdog group, the Voice of the Martyrs, warned that the Chinese government is currently attempting to rewrite the Word of God in accordance with communist values. And let me stop right there. If you're not familiar with the Voice of the Martyrs, it's an excellent, excellent organization that works around the world for, you know, Christians that are in under persecution, and they've defended and rescued and helped out a lot of Christians around the world. It's one of the biggest organizations for the persecuted church. So, this is a project that the Chinese Communist Party announced in 2019. At the time, they said it would be a 10-year process to release a new translation of the Bible. Voice of the Martyr spokesman Todd Nettleton told FaithWire in a recent interview. He noted that the reimagined scriptures would include a variety of principles, including Confucianism and Buddhism. This new translation would really support the Communist Party, Nettleton added. In a recent post on Facebook, Voice of the Martyrs pointed out that the CPP's revision of the Bible will include core socialist values and the removal of passages that do not reflect communist beliefs. One example of the changes was revealed in a high school textbook released in September 2020. In the textbook, the CCP changed several verses in John 8. The Voice of the Martyrs said in a social media post. As the biblical story goes, Jesus forgives an adulterous woman despite the Pharisees' call to stone her to death under Mosaic law. The CCP's translation, however, alters the story where Christ ends up stoning the woman as he admitted, "I am also a sinner." And that, I mean, that goes to the core of Christianity, to make that type of a change. Nettleton told FaithWire that he found it shocking that the rewritten passage diminishes Jesus' divinity. In one sense, it's just like so arrogant to think I'm going to rewrite the story of Jesus, but then you think about denying the deity of Christ. If Jesus is a sinner, then he's not God. He went on to note that the purpose of the revisions is to demonstrate the CCP's attempt to lessen Christianity's influence on some of its citizens. The issue for the Chinese Communist Party is control. It's always been about control, and they see the Christian message as something that would take control away from them. The Voice of the Martyr spokesman added that the Chinese government's goal is for the people to wake up every day and ask, "How can I serve the party today? How can I be a good communist today?" And that's exactly what they're doing by destroying the Christian principles. It's not about how can I serve God today, but how can I serve the party. Amid the CCP's revisions of the scripture and a lack of unaltered Bibles, VOM hopes to send more copies of God's Word to fellow believers in China. That's one of the reasons why Voice of the Martyrs and other groups are so committed to delivering the Bibles into China, even smuggling the Bibles into China because it's not available, he said. One of the things that I hope about this new translation is that it will backfire, and people will wonder, why was it so important for the Chinese government to retranslate the Bible? Why was it so important for them to change it? Voice of the Martyrs, along with other religious freedom groups, recently urged believers to boycott the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics due to Chinese persecution of Christians and other religious minorities. So one of the things they mentioned in there is that they are engaged in, and there are other organizations engaged in, bringing Bibles to, and most of the time it's smuggled in. They're brought in without being smuggled sometimes, but most of the time it has to be smuggled in. But there are themselves and other organizations, and that's why it is so critically important that we take an interest in what's happening in China, and we support organizations that do take Bibles to countries like China. And I firmly believe that with all the Bibles that have been smuggled in over the years and with efforts to continue, we can overcome the Chinese government's efforts to retranslate the Bible. But we can't just sit back and watch. We have to be active. And it's interesting, too, when you realize the efforts that many organizations put into taking the Bible into other countries and in those languages of that country. You know, we're blessed that here in the United States, you can walk into, you know, Ollie's, you can walk into bookstores, you can walk into department stores, and not only do you have the Bible there available to you, but it's available in 17 different kinds. There are different translations, there are different study Bibles, it's just offered to us in so many different ways. And in many, many other countries, there are no chances to get the Bible except through nefarious ways. I collect Bibles, what I call the foreign language Bibles. I've always had an interest, obviously. I have an interest in Bibles, and I'm particularly interested in, foreign language Bibles. And it's really fascinating. It opens up your eyes to see how many different translations are available. Yes, I have a copy of a Spanish Bible and a Russian Bible and a French Bible and a German Bible. But some of the other things I have a Bible that's in Farsi. I have a Bible that's in Hmong. I have a Bible that's in Bengali. So, you know, it's translated into many of the other languages and dialects. That's another thing, too. That in so many of these countries, it's not just one language, but there are many dialects of the language themselves that are spoken in that country. And it's really fascinating, and it's kind of humbling, really, that so many organizations are willing to risk everything to translate these Bibles into another language and then get them in the hands of the people. So, phone lines are open. Give me a call, 740-383-9944. We can talk about anything that's on your mind. And maybe next week I'll get things figured out and we can do our Bible study. But so you're welcome to call in. All right, here we go. Another story. Illinois County must pay $370,000 for requiring a Christian nurse to perform abortion services, according to the judge. An Illinois county must pay more than $370,000 in attorney fees for requiring a Christian nurse to refer women for abortions and provide abortifacient contraceptives, a state judge ruled on Wednesday. Sandra Rojas has worked as pediatric nurse for 18 years in the Winnebago County Health Department. When, in 2015, she and other nurses were required to undergo training that involved learning about abortion referrals and abortifacient contraceptives. Rojas objected, saying her Christian faith prohibited her from assisting in abortion services. Although her supervisor gave her a temporary religious accommodation, Rojas was told that the training and the abortion-related services were required to work in her position. Rojas resigned her position and then sued the county. I want to stop right there, okay? Because I honestly, I salute this individual because first she resigned her position and then sued the county. You know, her her moral convictions were that strong that she resigned her position. And when a person takes that leap of faith, hey, this is so important to me that I'm willing to give up my job. Many people have strong convictions, but not to the point that they're willing to give up their job because they have that fear of what will I do for income? What will I do to get another job? But she showed her strength of her faith and her trust in God that she was willing to resign her position. So I salute her for that. Rojas resigned her position and then sued the county, alleging that it had violated her freedom of religion and freedom of conscience rights. Judge Eugene G. Doherty of the 17th Judicial Court sided with Rojas last year, ruling the department had improperly discriminated against Rojas by refusing to accommodate her objections of conscience. The department, the judge ruled, had violated the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. On Wednesday, Doherty ordered the county to pay $374,000 in attorney's fees. Alliance Defending Freedom served as co-counsel in the case alongside Neil Sterrett of Dalton and Tomic and Whitman Brisky of Mack Baker. And again, that Alliance Defending Freedom is an organization that serves on many of these types of cases. And again, we salute them. And again, they also depend on support from Christians around the country and around the world so that they can offer their legal services to individuals. Medical professionals should never be forced to engage in or promote activities that violate their beliefs or convictions, said ADF Super Counsel Kevin Thoreau. Sandra served as a nurse according to her conscience and religion and a right for medical providers that is protected under Illinois and federal law. The court fee award sends a clear message that healthcare workers are free to practice medicine in a manner consistent with their conscience and religious beliefs. All right. Again, give me a call, 740-383-9944. We can talk about whatever's on your mind. Let's see. What else do I have here? All right. We have ongoing stories in Uganda and in Nigeria. You know, the Christian church is heavily persecuted in certain African countries. In Nigeria and Uganda, lead the pack, really. So before Sadi Bangwa could make it home from the church service in eastern Uganda, where he had just put his faith in Christ, Muslim relatives found out and intercepted him. And you know what we find very common? Most of the persecution that occurs in Kenya and Uganda and other places comes from family members. When a family member leaves the Muslim faith to become a Christian, it's the family members that persecute them. And unfortunately, you know, you have certain groups of people that, you know, want to say that the Muslim is a peaceful religion. You must understand that there are factions of that religion that are very fundamental, and there is no peaceful leaving the religion. This is what they believe, that when you leave the religion, that's a mortal sin, and you will pay for it. They also believe that it's through violence that you force people to join their religion. And again, it's not all Muslims, but there is a certain segment of the Muslim population that believes that. Bwenga, 20, had prayed to receive Christ at the February 6th church service in Kadama Kabuku district that morning, said the evangelist, taking him home on his motorcycle. The grandson of a former Muslim sheikh who had led that county for many years. Bangwa was halfway back to his home in predominantly Muslim village when relatives stopped him and the evangelist driving the motorcycle. A relative had seen Bangwa and the evangelist, whose name is withheld for security reasons, enter the church that morning and then told other family members. Driving a car to the church 6 miles away, the relatives found Bangwa carrying a Bible that the church had given him, took him to the roadside, and told the evangelist to leave. One of them told me, "We know that you are a Christian, but our son is a Muslim, and we do not want to see you here," the evangelist said. "So I left immediately. Just a little distance away, I heard a loud screaming from Saudi, crying for help. When another vehicle happened by, it stopped, and the occupants learned from the evangelist about the assault taking place, causing Bangwa's Muslim relatives to put him in their vehicle and drive away. I knew they were going to kill my friend, so I alerted my pastor, who organized two vehicles immediately, and we drove to Saadi's house. On arrival, there were several people outside, but on seeing us, they fled. We found Saadi outside his cottage, lying in a pool of blood and half naked around 2:30, with serious head and leg injuries, but still alive. They rushed him to the hospital, where Bangwa's relatives demolished his living quarters. Church leaders reported the attack to an area chairperson, a Muslim, who took no action, the church said. Bangwa was released from the hospital on February 14. He remains on an IV drip, and a nurse is monitoring his condition. The assault was the latest of many instances of persecution of Christians in Uganda, the Morning Star News has documented. Uganda's constitution and other laws provide for religious freedom, including the right to propagate one's faith and convert from one faith to another. Muslims make up no more than 12% of the population, with the highest concentration in eastern areas. So, again, he was protected by the law, but he wasn't protected from what his relatives wanted to do to him. And unfortunately, as again I say, there are certain factions within the Muslim religion that carries that out. Again, you can call me at 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. Give me a call. We can talk about whatever's on your mind. Again, also you can contact me through the website, studyhiswordradio.org, or you can write to me at email is studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. All right. Let's see. We don't want to really get into political news this morning. We try to keep it out as much as we can, because you don't tune in probably to hear political news anyway. Let's see. All right. Many of you listen to Tony Evans. Tony Evans is a very popular pastor, and I listen to Tony Evans at times, and so I understand his popularity and everything. This may come as somewhat controversial, but I'm just going to throw it out there, and you can make up your mind. Pastor and author Tony Evans says Christians should support Black History Month as a way to embrace unity and diversity within the church, saying God does his best work when the body of Christ is walking together. Evans, pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, says in a new column for Relevant magazine that he is sometimes asked by white friends, "What is the purpose of Black History Month?" Those same friends, he asks, also ask, "Shouldn't we have a White History Month too?" That statement is usually followed up by a chuckle in an attempt to take the edge off of what has the potential of turning into an awkward conversation, Evans, who is black, wrote. Evans says he welcomes such conversations. February, of course, as you know, is Black History Month. God has intentionally reconciled racially divided groups into one new man, Ephesians 2:14-15, uniting them into a new body, Ephesians 2:16, in order that the church can function as one, Ephesians 2:13. When the church functions as one, we boldly brag on God to a world in desperate need of experiencing Him. The reason we haven't solved the racial divide in America after hundreds of years is because people apart from God are trying to invent unity, while people who belong to God are not living out the unity we already possess. The result of both of these situations has been and will continue to be disastrous for our own nation, let alone disastrous for the witness of Christ to our nation. Comparing the church to a football team, Evans said a successful team consists of 11 players who not only know who they are, but also know who everyone else is. That is, he said, they are working toward reach the same goal. Evans was not taught about the accomplishment of black Americans when he was in school, he wrote. In my all-black classrooms, I learned about white culture and white history, he wrote. I read about Paul Revere and his midnight rides. But what my teachers failed to mention was that on the night of Paul Revere's ride, another man, a black man named Wentworth Cheswell, also rode on behalf of our nation's security. He rode north with the same exact message. Reading my Scofield Bible at church, I was reminded that we, as blacks, were under a curse of slavery. After all, it wrongly referenced it in the notes in my Bible. What I didn't learn was that the rich heritage of people of color in the Bible, and even that there were black men and women in the lineage of Christ. Without an authentic self-awareness, Evans wrote, African Americans often struggle as we seek to play on the same team toward the same goal in the body of Christ. But my white brothers and sisters also need to be aware of who we are and who God has created and positioned us to be at this critical time in our world, Evans wrote. Black History Month gives us an opportunity to familiarize ourselves with our own past in such a way that will enable us to embrace our diversity to its fullest, putting unity to use for good. When we do that, when we knowledgeably serve side by side, there will be no stopping us, no stopping what we can do in the name of Christ. So, that's Tony Evans' perspective on things. Give me a call, 740-383-9944, if you have any thoughts on the message. The question is, having a Black History Month, does it indeed promote certain parts of history that we aren't aware of? Does it promote certain parts of history that aren't taught in the schools? Does it bring out some things that are important in our history? What is your feeling about having a month labeled as Black History Month? There again, does that further separate blacks and whites? You know, I remember when we were supposed to be colorblind. Martin Luther King wanted to look toward a day when we would be judged by our character and not the color of our skin. Does Black History Month help promote that? Or does it work against that? So, if you have any thoughts on that, feel free to give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. Again, at 740-383-9944. All right. Let's see what else we have here. I think there was a couple more things that I had in here. Let's see. The church in the metaverse. Futurists and tech industry gurus have long promised a utopia where humans aren't dependent on pesky biological or geographical realities. Beyond yesterday's cyberspace and today's metaverse is the same idea. In a brave new world of digital existence, humans can be freed from bodies, specific locations, and other physical limitations. I'm purposely talking slower on this one because this technical stuff for me is hard to absorb. So I have to take it slow just to keep up with what is written here. Digital technology made it possible for churches to pivot and continue in the early uncertain days of the pandemic. Many congregations have chosen to keep their live streaming option on offer in order to accommodate their older, more vulnerable, or physically distant constituents. Other churches have taken it a step or two further. Some have opted for online-only congregation, abandoning a physical building and physical gatherings altogether, which I'm going to insert my own opinion here, and I believe that is a very dangerous step to take, and I think that will eventually spell the end of a church if they abandon a physical building and physical gatherings. But I can elaborate on that another time. Others are starting churches, and that they have it in quotes, churches in Facebook's new metaverse, where people or their avatars can, again in quotes, come to church from anywhere in the world with other people or their avatars who join from anywhere in the world. DJ Soda, a pastor at what is called VR Church in the Metaverse, recently claimed, "The future of the church is the metaverse. In the church of 2030, the main focus is going to be your metaverse campus." On one hand, such innovation is just the latest chapter in a longer history. Churches have long employed new technologies and methods to reach the sick or infirmed, particularly in times of crisis, and keep them connected with the wider church. Evangelicals in particular have a long tradition of using new technologies in the service of evangelism, including the printing press 500 years ago, the newspaper 300 years ago, the radio in the early 1900s, and the TV in the late 1900s. This commentary, Breakpoint, got its start on the radio. But new technology and communication methods must be evaluated on more than whether or not something new works. The new chapter is also about what the church is. And they go on and they give their opinion, and actually they're not big on it, and I'm not big on it either. I honestly believe that this type of church, the metaverse and where you or your avatar can go, it really, we could look at it from a standpoint of even larger than the church. Just the whole concept of the metaverse and avatars and that type of things, I think is detrimental to a population. It's detrimental to a culture on a grand scale. The more we remove ourselves from physical interactions with multiple people, the more dangerous it's going to be. We as human beings were created to socialize with people, to need people. And I think the future of more and more ways that take us out of interacting with people is negative. So that's just my thoughts on it. Your thoughts are welcome. 740-383-9944. All right. Let's see. Groundbreaking word-for-word Bible movies now in 1,000 languages, overwhelmed with joy, producer says. This kind of relates to what I was speaking about earlier, about the vast number of languages and dialects that the printed Bible is available in. Four groundbreaking Bible movies that include the unabridged text of Scripture for the script are now available in more than 1,000 languages. And that's amazing when you stop and think of it. I don't even know if if the average person, if you ask them how many different languages are in the world, I don't even know if most people would even realize that there are that many. We tend to think of, well, there's Russian and there's Spanish and there's Chinese and there, you know, but really so many of those have separate dialects that one dialect has trouble understanding. You know, if you speak one dialect and someone speaks the other, in many cases, they may as well be speaking a foreign language. So, anyway, get back here. The films, titled simply The Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, were released in English beginning in 2014 and then translated into other languages through a partnership between Bible Media Group, the distributor, and Faith Comes by Hearing. The films are the core element of what is called the LUMO Project. Unlike most other Bible movies that use only selected texts from Scripture, the four films use the unabridged word-for-word text of Scripture for the dialogue and the scripts. And I think that's neat. You're getting the whole Scripture. You're not getting just bits and pieces of it. The films reached their 1,000th language translation with the language of Zenga, which is spoken by people in Zambia and other locations. English translations are available in the New International Version, the King James, and the English Standard Version. Over 10 years, I dreamt of producing a filmed version of the Gospels that would be accessible and transformative for people throughout the world by the simple expedient of using the Bible translations as the soundtrack so everyone could see and hear the Gospels in their mother tongue, said Hannah Leder, who created and produced the films. I dreamt that we could reach 1,000 languages. With a lot of help and a lot of faith and in God's good time, we have achieved that goal. I am overwhelmed with joy. The LUMO Project calls itself a groundbreaking, multi-language biblical resource that was created to transform the way in which people engage, discover, and study the life of Jesus through the Gospels and to resource ministries seeking to promote biblical literacy. The four films are available for free on Prime Video's IMDb TV channel with ads. We believe what we do is by the kingdom for the kingdom. We know that to accomplish our mission and vision, we need to walk side by side with like-minded ministries. And we would not have been able to fulfill this dream without the partnership from Faith Comes by Hearing, said Tessie DeVore, president of the Bible Media Group. It is through this amazing partnership that the millions of people can engage the Scripture by watching God's Word unfold their own language. Now, compare that story, the Gospels presented in film form, unabridged. Compare that story to the previous story I brought to you about the church in the future in the metaverse, where you and your avatar can attend church virtually and react or interact with people virtually, or interact with their avatars virtually. And quite honest with you, I think it shows two examples of how technology can be used for the betterment of the church, and how it can be used for a questionable whether it's really better for the church. Just my own personal opinion, I think it's great, and the movies in 1,000 languages is the best possible use of technology to spread the gospel to the world, to any points in the world where you can reach those people. The metaverse and the avatars and interacting that way, I think, does not really do anything to further the gospel. If anything, I think it's going to wind up presenting a view of the church that really has nothing to do with what a church is supposed to be and what the mission of the church is. That's my own opinion. Well, we're getting down the last couple minutes here. So again, let me just remind you, there's a dinner available this Tuesday night, February 22nd, from 4:30 to 6 at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 135 West Main Street in Waldo. You can get baked spaghetti, garlic bread, coleslaw, applesauce, Coke, and bottled water. Pull up to the door facing the parking lot, and the meal will be delivered to your car. Everyone is welcome, and it is free. We have the community dinner this Friday at the Shining Light Baptist Church, 294 Mount Vernon Avenue, at 6 o'clock. It is free. You can dine in, or you can get it to go. And then finally, Saturday, March 12th, from 11 to 2, is the donation auction and silent auction. Luncheon and silent auction to benefit the Good News Clubs. Where? It's at the Cornerstone Alliance Church, 2010 Marion Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Again, it's from 11 to 2. You can come in, you can bid on items, and that's no cost to you. If you get the item, it will be, and hopefully you do, but there's no cost to attend the auction. If you want to attend the luncheon, it's a $10 donation, and that too is also a dine-in or to-go. Finally, you can reach us through our website, studyhiswordradio.org. You can write to us at Study His Word Radio, 6190 State Route 19. That's in Mount Gilead, Ohio, 43338. Or you can email me at studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. And finally, go to the station's webpage, wwgh1071.com. You can go to the archive page, and you can listen to past shows. So that's it for today. This is Pastor Craig. You can catch me Wednesday night at 5 o'clock. I'm in here with Nate and Terry for Live at 5. It's the show with no name. And then I'll be back again next Sunday at 11 o'clock. So have a good week. We'll see ya.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio.